Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
It is Tuesday, the 15th of June, 2021, and you're tuned in to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That must mean you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. My guest today is Mr. Toby Smith from the Paradise Island Lighthouse and Beach Club Company. Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Green. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Good morning, Bahamas.
Absolutely. I want you to sit in with me for a few moments as I do my little intro. I'm glad that you're here today because that means I don't get to talk long. I want to remind everybody that gas prices have gone up. Shell is at $4.91, Esso at $5.01, and Rubis at $5.01. Plan your day accordingly. Get your feelings put together. Talk to your children about how we have to limit this time spent in the car riding around and gallivanting. Prepare yourself for these types of shifts. And it's really sort of easy, you know. Once you prepare yourself psychologically, the rest of it is easy. I just wanted to point that out. Also, somebody pointed out to me yesterday that BPL did not promise no more power cuts. They promised no more load shedding. Or sharing, that's what it is, right? It's load sharing, because you sharing the load. I don't get it. I feel like it's load shedding, right? Because y'all is a load, and we ain't got time for y'all, so no power for y'all. Once we get that load off our back, we can focus on the fancy people who deserve electricity, and not us lowly plebs. Also, I wanted to make a small note. Yesterday I told y'all, I wanted to talk about Mr. Desmond Bannister. In fact, in yesterday's paper, there was a letter, an article from Fred Smith responding to statements made by Desmond Bannister. And in today's paper, there is a statement or an interview with the Chief Justice. And I don't think I could say it better than the Chief Justice said it. Like, he said it so well, so professionally. He measured his words. You know, he took the time to ensure that he was saying the right thing, that he was setting the correct tone, that he was helping us as the public moderate our behavior by understanding the scope of the judicial culture and the political culture involved and how far is too far. And I really appreciate that statement by him, because the only thing I was going to ask him is, did you think the Blackbeard's Key ruling was silly too? Like, I mean, I was going to ask a crude and unprofessional question like that. And like, when did you think that the court's ruling should have been enforced? You know, was it before you became the Minister of Works? Was it after you became the Minister of Works? Or was it after the election? I don't know. Those are all crude and unprofessional questions. And maybe I shouldn't be the one to be asking them. Maybe they shouldn't be asked at all. But I really appreciate the way that the Chief Justice summed up the judicial and constitutional issues involved in the discussion. All of these things, like separation of powers, right? And balance of powers, the importance of the judiciary, the executive, and the parliament or the legislature being able to operate with each other without impeding each other. All of these things are very important. I also want to touch on, because there's another story. Yesterday's paper, the story was entitled 21 Months After Dorian Officials Reevaluating Dome Recipient List. And in today's paper, we have a story, an interview with Parkesha Parker Edgecombe, the Honorable Minister, about a number of domes being erected in Sweden's Key. And I just want to say to all of you guys involved in this, you all have failed, right? Like, you get an F. And it's straight across the board. Hurricane season has already arrived, and you're still trying to figure out who's supposed to get a dome from last season, from like 2019 season, right? Not even 2020 season. You've gotten an F. There is no fixing it up, rubbing it up, or lotioning it. There's nothing. You get an F. But most importantly, I haven't seen the broadcast or advertisement or publication of any services, psychosocial, psychological services for people who would have been victims of Dorian, right? Not one. I haven't seen it. I haven't seen it in the paper. That's the second reason why you have failed, right? We are in the middle of June, the first month of hurricane season 2021. And I'm going to be honest with you. Y'all need to work harder. When I was young, and my mother was a civil servant, like talking about when I was young, and they had no sense, right? When I was young and my mother was a civil servant, I spent many evenings waiting for my mother to come home. And she explained to us that she is a civil servant. And that means that she has responsibilities that are larger than her personal life and her home. And she has to take care of those things. And then when she explained to us that she worked for social services and she got children that she is in charge of, she have to take care of, we sort of got it, you know? So I want you all to get it like that. People rely on your competence for their survival, right? This ain't a matter of, the government don't pay me enough money to do this thing. I mean, worry about the government. People are relying on you for their survival. Anyway, as we get into the show, I have this segment entitled, in fact, it was a poem I was writing. It's called, If You Don't Believe in Yourself, Disney Will, and they will also make $500 million in the process. It is a beautiful poem, and I'm not finished writing it yet, but I will tell you what it's about. See, when I started telling people I am a Chikchani catcher, they would laugh or scoff. Warning of the dangers of perpetuating mysticism and dark age thinking with these backward people. But I am a Chikchani catcher. And I come from a long line of Chikchani catchers, famed for our mystical and logical abilities. See, Chikchani means many things to many people. Could be extinct beings, well-hidden forest creatures, metaphor or cautionary tale. To me, all of these iterations are real and valid. Unless, of course, you don't believe they exist at all. And I bet you're the type of person who's eat Johnny bread. So, there's that. Now, see, Disney has a new film coming out called Luca. That's L-U-C-A. It reminds me of something. Something very, very, very Bohemian. See, Luca is set in a beautiful seaside town on the Italian Riviera. The original animated feature is a coming-of-age story about one young boy experiencing an unforgettable summer filled with gelato and pasta and endless scooter rides. Luca shares these adventures with his newfound best friend, but all the fun is threatened by a deeply held secret. Luca is a sea monster from another world just below the water's surface. Now, let me ask you all a question. You ever heard of the Lusca? That's L-U-S-C-A. People report it looks like a giant octopus, a half shark, half octopoid. Remember Sci-Fi Network? Sharknado? Like Sharknado 5 with the half shark, half octopus? Yeah, yeah. Or a squid-eel combination. While most people report an octopus-like creature with tentacles, some people have claimed to see a multi-headed monster, a dragon-like creature, or an evil spirit. The Lusca is very large, said to grow over 75 feet long. Sometimes people report that it can change color, a characteristic found in smaller octopus species. A trademark of the creature is to see bubbles before the attack. Now look at that. I want you all to ponder that for a second. I can reiterate it because they put a lot of words in the middle there. Disney is making a film. In fact, it's made, right? They're about to publish it, about to be shown in theaters, called Luca, L-U-C-A. While some of us are still trying to get Bahamians to hear one story about the Lusca, L-U-S-C-A. Now think about that. Don't believe in yourself then, because I'll believe in you. Trust that. And Disney will believe in you and make $1 billion in the process. Arlington, let's go to a break. And then when we get back from the break, we're going to dive into the segment with Toby Smith from Paradise Island, Lighthouse and Beach Club.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The rock that's up for two. The count depends on you. So tell Teddy, go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Meet Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You are on the clock with Erin Green. And remember, we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can also listen in on TV on Cable Bahamas channel 969 or Flow channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. You can also text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. And that's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. You can also call in with 323-6232. That's 323-6232 or 325-4316 or 325-4259. Before we get going, I have a message from the Ministry of Finance. Public debt management. Let's pause for a financial minute. Did you know the new Public Debt Management Act 2021 aims to provide a modern and comprehensive legal framework for promoting greater clarity, discipline, and transparency and accountability in public debt management operations in the Bahamas? This new law comes into effect July 1st, 2021. This financial minute has been brought to you by the Ministry of Finance. Good morning, Mr. Smith.
Good morning, Ms. Green.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and good morning, Bahamas.
Absolutely. It is a pleasure to have you here. I'm going to show you how the universe aligns itself and then it's kick you in the backside to make sure you are where you're supposed to be. So that little intro I had about Luca and the Lusca, I was supposed to do that yesterday.
Okay.
I got carried away with some other things that needed to be talked.
Right.
And so I said, okay, Aaron, you could do it tomorrow morning. And then I got a call from you.
Lo and behold.
And I thought, look at that.
Look at that.
The universe is like, you know when you need to use that intro.
There you go. Excellent. Perfect timing.
Now, Toby, I know you. I know you from this particular public issue.
Yes.
Around Lighthouse Point. But I'm not sure if everybody knows you and they know what you do. Tell us about yourself briefly.
All right. So I'm a proud Bahamian that believes in giving back to the community. And people might know me. I built the Flamingo on the roundabout by Fusion, by Bahama Boulevard, right there on the roundabout. That's Ringo the Flamingo. I built that with my daughter a few years ago. I restored Steve Burrows' conch shell. Kashan Monroe recently redid the painting of the conch shell and the white crown pigeon. But prior to that, my daughter and I restored the conch shell and white crown pigeon when it was moved and dumped in the back of Ministry of Works for the road expansion project. And I restored, there's a steamroller in front of the Ministry of Works on the roundabout there. I believe in giving back to the community. And through that giving back process and restoring our national treasures, if you would, that led me to hanging out up in the lighthouse. And I decided one day, well, what I learned from, if I don't do it, who is going to do it? I learned to
Disney
say...
Disney will do it.
Well, or Disney will do it, or Royal Caribbean will do it, some other entity that the government seemed to chase rather than allowing Bahamians to thrive. So I said, all right, as far as the lighthouse is concerned, then if I don't do it, who will do it? And okay, let me think of the idea of me restoring the lighthouse. And in order to be able to do so, I needed to make some revenues because it's not going to be a cheap thing to do. I'm doing it for free for the Bahamian people. The government ain't paying nothing. The Bahamian people won't have to pay for the restoration and to fund it. I said, let me start a beach club. So I'll have revenues coming into the beach club. Those revenues will help pay for the lighthouse. We'll be able to open the lighthouse to do historical tours and a new hangout spot for Bahamians and our guests to be able to enjoy, as well as Crown Land access for Bahamians to enjoy a beach club that will be an all-Bahamian place where you can go and get a burger and a beer. And you know, beach access for Bahamians is becoming more and more limited.
Oh, yeah.
So be able to expand on that. So that's basically who I am and what I'm trying to do there.
All right. So just briefly, the Crown Land in question,
yeah,
right? If you don't have access to it, does it irrevocably change the nature of your project? Like, can you go forward with what you're trying to do without that land?
No, all that land on the western end of Paradise Island. And just to define the difference, there is Lighthouse Point, and that's in South Eleuthera. But this is Paradise Island Lighthouse and Beach Club on the western end of Paradise Island. So all of the western end of Paradise Island is Crown Land, and the private residential land stops basically right across from the cruise ship dock.
Okay.
So that ceases, and it's residential. So it's still zoned as residential.
Uh-huh.
So because all that land is Crown Land, and because the government gave me a Crown Land lease, which I accepted in its entirety, then in my book, I've got a valid Crown Land lease, but the government is now saying otherwise and trying to give it away to a Johnny-come-lately.
All right. So what you're saying is you actually received the Crown Land.
I received a Crown Land lease.
Right. In writing.
In writing, paper. With a description, with a legal description, with a site plan, a whole nine yards of valid Crown Land lease. And then I got wind that the government was entertaining leasing that land to Royal Caribbean, and then things just went belly up. So once I learned that, I took the government to court to sue them to have my Crown Land lease honored.
Absolutely.
So
what were the terms of your lease?
The terms of the lease is to have two parcels of Crown Land. One is immediately in the vicinity of the lighthouse, so around the lighthouse, the keeper's quarters, etc., and then a 3-acre parcel on the beach. So all this came around of negotiating with the government back and forth, So that originally I requested the western end of Paradise Island, the whole acres, and then they whittled me down, and then finally that crystallized on what we agreed to in the form of a valid Crown land lease.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you this question. When did you begin the development? Like, what's the starting date for your project?
Okay, so the starting date of when this came around was that I applied in April 2012 to the Department of Lands and Surveys for a Crown land lease of the Crown land on the western end of Paradise Island.
Absolutely. So we're talking 9 years ago.
I'm in my 10th year of begging this government and scrapping with them to try and get now a lease honored.
All right. So because what I want to get a sense of is it possible that RCCL will, that's Royal Caribbean Cruise Line, right? Will get up and say, well, we were in negotiations with the government prior to 2012.
No, they can't try it out at all, man. All they've been doing, right, they've been buying up a private residential area on the western end of Paradise Island. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the yoga retreat.
Yeah.
So basically you got the old Club Med, the yoga retreat, and you just continue west, and there's residential houses there. So the RCL in the last couple of years have been buying up this private residential land. It's not zoned for commercial. They never even put in an application back then while they were buying this private land for Crown land. And yeah, I put it in a long time ago. I got my Crown land lease before they even put in for the Crown land.
Yeah, right.
Right? Right. So I got a jump start on them. I got Bahamas investment approval for exactly what's contained within the lease, 5 acres of Crown land, back in 2018.
So you got, say that again, you got approval.
I got approval in writing from the Bahamas Investment Authority in May 2018.
Okay.
Right? It's a letter. It's all legit. There's no misunderstanding. It was a letter on Bahamas Investment Authority letterhead to say we approve you, and it went through X, Y, and Z, which is the same X, Y, and Z that's contained within the Crown land lease.
Absolutely. So you should be able to use that in your case.
Oh, it's absolutely one of the documents that's in my case, and that's public knowledge. And I signed a memorandum of understanding with the government in 2018.
And an MOU.
And an MOU, right? A memorandum of understanding in 2018, so 3 years ago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they offered me the lease on the 7th of January, 2020. So a year and a half ago is when they offered me my lease. I accepted it on the 9th of January, 2020. So I accepted it more than a year and a half ago now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they're doing this thing with RCL saying, oh, we could give RCL a lease to the same land. And all right, so obviously it's a contentious situation. I believe in communications and trying to have conflict resolution without violence. So I reached out to RCL since I got wind that RCL were trying to get this Crown land over on the western end of Paradise Island.
Yeah.
Right. So government, the way that they behave, right before they signed the...
Now, 1 second, pause. Just how you said the word government just now, right? Like just when you said it, some itch in my shoulder, right? And I want to say to you right now that although I am hungry for information...
Yes.
Although I sit in here opposite you, you know... Ready diving into these questions, I also want you to be very careful, and because I'm not certain, I want to make sure that we don't say anything that would jeopardize the case that you have currently before.
Absolutely, I respect that, Aaron. Thank you very much. So, basically, anything that I'm saying, I have, and it's a matter of what I'm about to say is a matter of public record.
Okay.
So, what RCL tried to do is have a public consultation meeting.
Now, when you say public, how public? Like typical Bahamian government public?
Yeah, typical Bahamian government public, okay. Right? So what they did is they had a WebEx call that you could call into, but they didn't make the information public online.
Mm-hmm.
But what they said, what physical planning said was that there's a file at physical planning you can come by and peruse. And within that file for public consultation is a letter dated the 26th of February, 2020, which is a week before the government and their whole entourage, half of Bahamas airplane full, flew up to Grand Bahama for the signing of the Grand Lucayan deal on the 2nd of March.
Mm-hmm.
So a week before they signed the Grand Lucayan deal, the letter that's on the file for public record at Physical Planning was giving approval in principle, but with a bunch of caveats. And they even said in that letter that there's two other interested parties and the land needs to be surveyed. Right?
Yeah.
I'm one of the interested parties. Yeah. I know who the other interested party is. So that gave, I guess, some level of comfort to RCL that the government is working with them, for them, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So when I got wind that the government were approving these guys way back then, I flew to Grand Bahama. I met with Michael Bailey briefly. I introduced myself. I said, sir, I come to you respectfully, humbly. Uh-huh. My name is Toby.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, Toby, the lighthouse. I said, yeah. So fast forward to a couple of weeks ago, I got a text from Michael Bailey, the mm-hmm. president and CEO of RCL, to say, hey, Toby, long time no here. Now, bear in mind, he's telling me that I'm harassing him by asking him to talk to him. And I simply want him to understand my project. He said, I need to go talk with government. So he reached out to me, wanted to have talks. So I said, all right. I sat down with RCL, long story short, over the last 2 weeks, right? And they said, well, we're just letting you know, we received a Crown Land lease from the government. I said, all right, that's news to me. They said, well, in the spirit of good communication and as businessmen, we're letting you know that. We think it's fair. I said, okay, cool, thank you. So they asked me for my site plan from my lease
mm-hmm.
so that they could put it into their model, their architectural model, their design model, and see how their resort will work by respecting my boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
So I gave them it. And then I said, in the manner of reciprocation,
yeah.
if you say you've received a Crown Land lease now, can you give me your site plan? They said, sure, which was just a chicken scratch thing that was done by somebody that's since been moved from Lands and Surveys that was dated more than a year ago. That's not, in my estimation, a proper survey. And I'm sure a surveyor could suck his teeth at it. That they're completely running over my beach parcel. So
oh
I don't see where there can be a reconciliation. What I told them in my meetings with them is that I need them to respect my boundaries.
So what you're saying is that we're talking about the boundary with the lease.
Beach parcel, with the lease
from
parcel.
The government.
Yeah, yes.
That the government is now attempting or intending to give to RCL.
It's trying to. They could try all they want, but they can't do that if, they could do anything they want. So tying that back to what you were referring to earlier on of Desmond Bannister, you know, telling
now
the Supreme...
We don't have to tie it back.
No, okay. but it's relevant that I respect what the Chief Justice Marie is saying of there's a separation of duty and responsibility and power, right? And I don't think that MPs should be trying to step into the judicial shoes. And I respect that, and I wouldn't try to do that either. I just find it highly entertaining at this point that the government would so blatantly go ahead and issue a lease that RCL have confirmed in public that they have received a signed Crown Land lease.
Yeah.
And in giving me, in them, in the spirit of good talks, giving me the site plan that shows clearly that they've been offered land that runs over my beach parcel.
Wow, that is a position to be in. I want to say that I'm stunned. But if you've been paying attention to developments in this country over the last 20 to 30 years,
right.
you're not stunned.
No, I'm not stunned. That's why I say it's laughable. It's comical. I'm like, man, that's your move? Man, let me go have some fun with this. So that's on the record.
Okay, so they're doing this, and you have a case before the courts right now with the government, right?
That's right. I filed more than a year ago.
Okay, can you outline the details of that case?
The details of the case are is that the government offered me a Crown Land lease on the 7th of January. I accepted it, signed, sealed, delivered, notarized, and witnessed on the 8th of January 2020. I returned it back to Lands and Surveys on the 9th of January 2020. And then the government came along on the 27th of February 2020, invited me into a meeting where Carl Bethel told me my Bahamas Investment Authority approval, my MOU, and my lease amount to not being worth the piece of paper that they're written on.
Okay, I would like you to pause right here. Audience, I have to pause for a minute because I am compelled to crack a joke.
Go for it.
I am compelled to talk about Oban.
Yeah.
I'm compelled to talk about Alstom.
Yeah.
I am compelled to just have all of these different words shoot out my mouth. But no, we're going to pause because I shouldn't do that, Toby. I shouldn't do that. So you are currently before the courts challenging
the validity. So I'm asking the courts to validate my lease, to honor my lease.
And in the midst of that court proceeding, the government has granted the same land that's in dispute before the courts right now.
That's right.
To another company.
And RCL is complicit in negotiating with the government, and the government is complicit with the RCL in negotiating land that they knowingly is in litigation before the courts.
All right. Now, and we have to be very careful. I have to be very careful how I word this, right? Like, what I want to know is, will the outcome of the case that's currently before the courts impact your ability to seek recourse from the government for giving the land away? So you're saying that you've taken the government to court because they have told you that these official documents you've gotten aren't really official.
Right, they're not valid.
And in the midst of that, they are trading the same land.
And then they're going to try and convince RCL, yeah, don't worry. These letters and this lease, this valid. Toby's ain't valid, but this one, this valid. Who you want to believe? How can you have credibility in the local and international community in issuing BIA approvals, MOUs, lease agreements that are accepted in their entirety, and then coming back and say, we got a better deal. We ain't honoring that.
Were you required to submit an EIA?
The joke is that I can't submit an EIA, because if I go to Department of Environmental Protection and Planning, which I did when it was the best commission, then they saying you need to give us a copy of your lease, right? Physical Planning are saying we need a copy of your lease. When I ask them for what's called separation, no, not alienation. I've forgotten the term that they use. There's a specific term which would define on the record, on the site plan, that this is Paradise Island Lighthouse and Beach Club's area that's been leased through a Crown Air lease. Department of Physical Planning are telling me that I need to give them a copy of my lease.
Right. So, and then here's another question I want to throw out there, because I'm not sure if you could answer it, right?
Uh-huh.
So the RCCL project, they had already begun the development before they attempted to acquire your land, the land that you say has been granted.
Exactly right.
Right?
Yeah.
Were they required to submit an EIA for that initial development?
All right. So going back to the documents that are on public record at the Department of Physical Planning, within there is a letter from Rochelle Newbold, the Director of Department of Environmental Planning and Protection, that clearly states that pending receipt of the Crown land lease, i.e. DEPP need to receive a copy of RCL's Crown land lease, then they can't proceed any further.
Okay.
So how is it that they're having a whole physical planning public consultation meeting, right? Because back then, they didn't even have a valid, they had no lease.
Yeah.
Right? That only came around, from my understanding, is that the Prime Minister signed their Crown land lease on the 25th of May, 2021. So only within the last couple of weeks, he's coming out and given RCL this lease.
And it's reasonable to presume that if RCCL had the lease before you, there's no way you would have even been able to begin this process. You wouldn't have been led to believe that you could also...
I probably wouldn't have bothered, because, you know, right now there's a situation of Toby being David versus Goliath, being the cruise ship, being RCL. And now it's Toby versus two Goliaths, or Toby versus Goliath and City Hall.
And Let me read this article, and maybe this will give people a sense, because for me, it's giving me a sense. And really, I also want you to confirm whether what I'm feeling or thinking is correct or reasonable or possibly correct. So I'm going to read an excerpt from the Tribune Business Editor from October 27, 2020. The business editor is Neil Hartnell, right? Mm-hmm. The Grand Lucayan sale will not close until Royal Caribbean and its joint venture partner have sealed the deal for Freeport Harbor, a cabinet minister disclosed to Tribune Business. Dionisio de Aguila, Minister of Tourism and Aviation, confirmed that ITM Group and the cruise line want to seal, quote, the entire transaction at once, close quotes, to protect their commercial interests and not hand an advantage to either Freeport Harbor Company or the government. I want to pause right there, because I hopefully can get back to that last part of that statement. It goes on, quotation, "We would obviously like to conclude the entire transaction at the same time," Mr. D'Aguila told this newspaper. Quotation continues, "So yes, ITM wants to conclude this entire transaction at once. They don't want to close on one part of the deal and the other part of the deal is still pending." Close quotations. The minister's confirmation adds another twist to long-running negotiations that are attempting to get an agreement perceived as vital to Freeport's economic and tourism revival over the line amid the devastation inflicted by the COVID-19 pandemic. And so this article is saying that Royal Caribbean Cruise Lines or company wanted to buy the Grand Lucayan sale, but wanted to also, I think, purchase the Freeport Harbor and wanted everything to be done at the same time. They didn't want to do one with the risk of not being able to do the other, I imagine. Right? And so I have this question. Is it possible that RCCL has demanded the inclusion of this particular Crown land in question as a part of their negotiations with the government? Is it possible that they say, we want the hotel?
Is it possible?
We want the harbor.
Yeah.
We want the land at Lighthouse Point. We want the land on PI. Is it possible that they just put that pressure on the government to say, do it or everything will fall out?
If you ask me if it's possible, yes. If you ask me if I have intimate knowledge of exactly what they're trying to do, I can't go into that part. But it would seem highly likely that the RCL is trying to leverage as much as possible. And bear in mind now, they've already stolen the identity of Little Stirrup Cay, which Royal Caribbean called Coco Cay. So they've taken its identity. They've just started home porting, and the first two nights are being spent, the first 2 days are at Coco Cay. Right? And all that money, I mean, besides the people that are in Great Harbor Cay cleaning their toilets and whatnot, picking up their garbage, watching all these crew members come off the ship making food and bartending like Bahamians can't do those jobs.
Hold on. You mean that they bring in their own chefs and bartenders?
Yeah, man, they file off of the ship in Coco Cay. They pull up, they start bringing off all of the food that's going to be served. They bring off all of their chefs. They bring off bartenders, beach staff. They're bringing off all these people. And yeah, Bahamians do have jobs there, but it's the jobs that is minimal, living in a man camp, getting 3 squares a day, so I'm not going to knock a job, right? People got to work and try to provide for their families. I ain't knocking that. But how demeaning and denigrating is it to a Bahamian watching, for instance, an Indian, right, coming off an RCL ship to go there and carve a watermelon up or flip a burger, when Bahamians have to stand by and watch that, knowing that they could flip a burger or carve a watermelon, right? And goes into question, what about Bahamian labor laws?
Yeah.
What about NIB? What about work permits for all these people that are coming off? I mean, hundreds of staff. What's up with that? So I wouldn't be surprised if that's all tied in to one deal. I think that the government is trying to appease and do whatever they can to keep RCL happy. But when you look at that quotation that you just read regarding the Grand Lucayan, and they go all junk canoe and six meats for their thing, filet mignon, you name it up there in Grand Bahama, when they signed this deal on the 2nd of March 2020, which since then, Michael Scott, the chairman of the hotel corporation, has come out and said the deal in its present format, this was months ago, is a bad deal for Bahamians. Now, what more clarity do you need when the executive chairman of the hotel corporation is telling people publicly that it's a bad deal? And with COVID, I have strong doubts that deal has improved. And I think that RCL are looking for like payment terms, like, hey, Bahamian government, finance this deal for us over a period of years.
Not this government.
Man, this government.
Not this government.
I tell you, there's a lot of unsettling things that are going on that I know of that aren't necessarily things that I'm going to say on the radio, but I find it that the underlying wrongness of this government is putting foreigners ahead of Bahamians in the Bahamas. It's simply wrong. I'm seeking to employ people, provide meaningful jobs only for Bahamians. RCL want to say, well, we'll figure out a special rate for Bahamians to be able to enjoy Bahamian Crownland Beach. You're going to decide when we can go over there and how much we're going to have to pay to use our own beach. That's wrong, man. Oh, you could use it when our ships aren't in port.
So Hold on, but they're home boarding. Like, yeah. You're always 2 minutes from a board.
So do the math. I'm flabbergasted. So the government can run out and do all they want with RCL.
All right. So Arlington, caller, call right back. Arlington, we just missed that caller. While I'm waiting for that caller to call back, I got another question.
Sure.
So given, you said just now this government, right?
Yeah.
And that made me shudder just a little bit. Given the current political culture, the way that we do politics generally in this country, mm-hmm. do you really think the PLP will reverse this decision if they win the next election?
Yes, I do, and I'll tell you why. It's because Philip Brave Davis has already gone out and put it on public record that if any deal is signed with RCL for Crown Land over on Paradise Island, he will cancel it, number one. Number two, I just spoke with Brave Davis yesterday, and he says, Toby, you could quote me, right? We chatted yesterday, and he confirmed again that any deal done, RCL, I hope you're listening, any deal done with RCL for Crown Land on Paradise Island, that if and when his party gets in, will be cancelled.
Oh, boy, I wrote that down. I hope you remember that, Mr. Davis. I got a caller on the line here. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, top of the morning, Aaron.
Hey, good morning.
Top
how
of
are
the
you?
Morning.
All is well. And good morning to I call Toby a freedom fighter.
Thank you.
I don't just look at you as just a bohemian. I look at you as a bohemian and a freedom fighter.
Thank you. I appreciate
all
that.
All right, and I called basically to encourage you to continue your fight.
Yes, I appreciate it.
I am so passionate when I hear you to see that, you know, someone shares basically the same sentiments of myself when it comes to standing up.
Yeah.
For believing what you're believing in. But Ms. Green, you know, that gentleman inside the studio, he's a fighter.
Toby.
And at the end of the day, I hope that all you've been fighting for, that it works in your favor. Because, you know, when I listened to Falling Him Up, you know, and those things that he said, I know about that a little while.
Right.
But Falling in where he said about the lighthouse, and this gentleman isn't on the radio asking for nothing from the government.
Mm-hmm.
He's only asking, he's giving back.
Yeah.
Back. Why is it so hard that they cannot give him, you know, give him what he deserves, man? I mean, the thing about it, just another bohemian who is trying to implement something, right, that more bohemians can have, not him himself. He's trying to, in other words, spread the wealth.
And create an environment where bohemians could make better decisions about their life and more informed decisions because they have greater access to information and their actual environment.
Well,
Ms. Green, let me ask you a question. You're a community activist and also an activist, right, in your own way. Right?
Well, I'm an advocate, but when I was younger, I was more of an activist. Yeah,
I still have the most respect for Aaron Green as an activist.
How do y'all feel living in a country, right,
uh-huh.
where you wake up every day that God allows you to open up your eyes in the living, and you cannot have a fair share in the country?
Oh, boy, look here.
Where you pay your NIB, where you contribute, where you don't duck bills, where you do everything. Why you can't get a fair share?
Do it. I got to go. I got another call on the line. But you know how plantation model politics, economics, and tourism work. It's not designed for all of us to have a fair share.
And the odds are stacked against us. And we got to beg. We got to argue. We got to beg some more. We got to take them to court for Bahamians to get rights in our own land. And then within a couple of minutes, they're giving it away to a foreigner.
That's the thing, eh? We got another caller on the line there, Arlington. Coming to you right now, caller. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You there? Well, I see we got another one. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Good morning. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Mr. Smith.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. This is a simple matter. Carnival probably tatoes people under the table to get that.
Hold on. Okay, hold on. First of all, dear sir, I don't have any money. I need you. Like, you caused me to panic just now. We can't get sued. Me and you, we can't get sued, sir.
I can't say that. I'm not saying that.
They just don't want to say it. I'm going to say it.
Okay. But
she told me he ain't going to do that.
Right, but...
You know what I'm saying?
And,
so the BMS ain't going to do that. And everybody knows it. You know, this stuff got to stop in this country. BMS have to take their country back. Have to.
We so, have to so demand let me ask integrity.
You this. Let me ask you this. Would you rather that a cruise line company comes to the Bahamas and has been coming to the Bahamas for the last 50 years, right? They make billions of dollars from our resources, which is our sun, sand, sea, culture, history, people, all of that, right? They make billions of dollars in the Bahamas. They export that big bucket of cash straight out of the Bahamas for the benefit of foreign shareholders.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and then Bahamians have to beg for crumbs, right? And then the same cruise line, RCL, are then sending crumbs back in 40-foot containers because we're in a land of begging, and the government is right out there accepting it, and the prime minister's wife is giving food out that's donated by RCL through the Bahamas Feeding Network.
Absolutely.
They've reduced us to beggars. Rather than like something like my project, my project is about making money. Some of that money will be used towards restoring the lighthouse. Some of
and
that money that's generated from foreign direct investment, i.e., tourists coming in with money in their pockets in U.S. cash, is going to prop up our economy by staying in our economy and circulating in our economy throughout the food stores, the liquor stores, the numbers boys, the education resources, all these things. It's going to flow around the community. Whereas with RCL, they're making stacks of cash and they're exporting it straight out the country. And I am vehemently opposed to that. And I think it's wrong. And
thank you.
All I'm saying is, Mr. Smith, you do the deep background check and see how that deal got approved, and you wouldn't be surprised.
Thank you. Thank you, Carlo. Also, I think you mentioned a different company's name. I don't think that's the company in question. Also, we have to be very careful how we say what it is we're trying to say so as not to jeopardize, A, our ability to keep saying things,
sure,
and B, not to jeopardize the case that's before the courts with Mr. Smith.
Absolutely.
As it stands. And that's just, that's the sort of discipline and preparedness and patience that we have to begin to practice, despite the fact that we know that we're right.
So me and you are both positioned the same, that we're not part of that allegation. And I wouldn't say distance ourselves, but
no.
What goes out in public digestion isn't necessarily coming from us.
Right. I have a text there for you, Toby. Good morning, Aaron. Ask Toby if he need any funds to assist in fighting this case. I feel compelled to assist.
I really appreciate it. I've got an expert lawyer, Wayne Monroe QC. He has an expert legal team. I have full confidence in him. I have seen him win cases against the government. I've seen the government shy away from even bringing a case against Wayne QC. So if the government, represented by the Attorney General, I've seen Carl Bethel's track record. It looks pretty shabby. If he's going to compete against Wayne Monroe QC, then I'm looking forward to this party getting started.
Oh, wow. Well, then, so do you have any campaign fundraising initiatives? You will need one?
I've asked the Bahamian public to please just stand with me. I stand with them on their issues. I stand with them on the rights that they're trying to achieve. I'm standing with hurricane victims of Dorian, of Joaquin, of Irma. I'm speaking out about the government. I don't fear the government, and I feel as though many Bahamians are out there in fear because they got their little, they got something going on that they're in fear of the government taking away from them. So I appreciate your very kind offer to help as far as the legal fees are concerned. What I would appreciate the support is getting the message out there, sharing it on Facebook, talking about it amongst your friends. And people are calling me every day and posting stuff, man. We support you, Toby, sir. I appreciate everybody that's standing with me, and I stand with you. And on that note, I'd like to say Happy Pride Month. We're in Pride Month here.
Absolutely.
I just to segue away from the main topic, but I appreciate what you're doing, Aaron, and in the community of the LGBTQ and with Pride Month, enough respect. And I think that if Bahamians all stand together rather than just a quiet Facebook post or a little comment here, I think if we rise up and roar, then the government will have to listen, and we've got them. I feel for my particular case, I got them backed into a corner.
And when we talk about rising up and roaring, right? Ain't nobody talking about beating down the government, What we're saying is, look, we ain't talking about no violent revolution.
Absolutely not.
All we're saying is, look, and we're not asking people, I revolution in right now. People are not asking for outrageous things. People aren't asking for give us a whole island for ourselves. people are simply demanding that they be included in the process of governance, that they are treated as, if not prioritized in their own country, treated equally and equitably with foreigners, right? Like, so we ain't talking about no...
Not even equity. We want a better... Behavior should be treated better, a priority. We're being given a backseat. They getting red carpet treatment, we getting red tape. They getting tea and biscuits at the PM's office. PM refuses to meet with me. Step up to the plate.
Look here, plantation.
Man up.
Plantation model tourism is a serious thing. And plantation model tourism systems we are still plagued with.
And you know what the irony is too, though, Aaron? Mm-hmm. Is that, do you remember back in 1492, this fella came on this big boat, convinced us with glass beads that this is the right thing and feeding us crumbs and all the rest of it.
And we were so polite. We didn't have the heart to tell this, but you lost.
Yeah.
You stupid.
Right? So now you get a modern day big ship pulling into Nassau home port, right? And government going out there and kissing their feet like it's the coming of Christ. And whatever you want, let's go for it, right? And then we still end up with crumbs and trinkets and glass beads.
Yeah.
It's wrong, and it's like we ain't learned. And you know what the name of the beach is, which is the irony? The beach over there is called Colonial Beach. And when I get it, I'm going to be petitioning that we call it the Lighthouse Beach.
I mean, you call it Lighthouse Beach. I can call it Chicchani Beach.
Chicchani. I believe I saw one over there, you know.
They are there.
I believe.
And considering the strength of your campaign, they're doing good work. Arlington, we got another caller on the line. Hey, good morning, caller. How you doing? Good morning, caller. You on the clock? Let's try this again. Good morning, caller. You on the clock? I am sorry, caller. I don't know what is happening. I got another text here for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Bahamians are bartenders, chefs, and managers at Coco Key. The gentleman is being disingenuous, and I know because I have cousins and friends that serve in these positions on that key. By the way, I don't support RCL.
Well, go there for yourself and go watch it. I know Bahamians that have been on a cruise to Coco Key and have come to Nassau, and the cruise lines are warning passengers, oh, yeah, don't go with a bunch of cash in your pocket, you know. Don't go over the hill. Don't go far off from downtown. Or wait till we get to our own private island where you'll be able to relax. It's private and exclusive to us. What kind of message does that send to the passengers that are in Nassau?
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right? And then it's proven with the statistics. When you look at the amount of people that come off of the ship when they're in Nassau, as opposed to getting off the ship in Coco Key, Castaway Key, all these other private islands, right? The statistics back up what I'm saying. So you might want to say that, but you see the foreign workers filing off of the ship and coming into Coco Key. I beg to differ with you.
I got you there. And I had another question here, and I want to get to all of these texts.
Yes, ma'am.
But let's go to the caller first. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. You there? Hi, caller, you there? Oh, I think we are definitely having a problem with the lines this morning. We will forward this to our telecommunication service providers as soon as possible to make sure that your calls can connect. Let me get straight to the text. I got the first text here. It says, thanks for exposing the thieves about Luca. I want to say that I think the first person, I just recently learned about the Luska, you know, is Nico Mikolas. And I think either he was writing or editing or co-editing a book about the Luska.
Oh, wow.
Here's another text. Tell your guests he have to have a foreign accent to get what he want. He have the color, but not the foreign accent. And they say, great show as usual. Ask your guest if he is willing to sell a piece of property on Lighthouse Point.
All right. So it's not Lighthouse Point. It's the western end of Paradise Island. I am not in a position to sell anything because I'm purely leasing it from the government. And yeah, I mean, people that'll be like, man, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Oh, this white boy think he could do whatever he want. Da, da, da. Yeah, I'm a white boy, but I'm Bahamian, man. I was born right here. It ain't about, oh, you must be naturalized or something. I Bahamian, right? And I don't care if you're black, white, pink, purple, whatever it is. If I believe in what other people are fighting for, I could stand with you. And we stood together on occasions in the past. someone kind of screwed that up and lost that whole activism march.
Oh,
right?
My.
So now it kind of put a black eye on us being able to march for the future. They go on with their own agenda.
It has certainly disrupted the trust, right?
Exactly.
That took so long to garner.
Yeah, right? And we all unified. And I see unity amongst Bahamians. And the naysayers, that's a very small number of loud mouths, right? They got a loud mouth. They got a hard mouth.
Then they got their own political agenda. Like, Toby, because we were having an issue with the phone lines, I'm going to try and take this one last call before we end the show. Let's try it. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yeah, tell them, dial 325-4259. That's what I heard Dwight say this morning. Toby.
Yes, sir.
Toby.
Yes, sir.
Toby, this is the blind one. Pawpaw, listen.
Hey, my brother. What do you say, Pawpaw?
Thank God for life. We love you. And we support you, Toby.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's always a pleasure to hear from you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir. We support you, Toby. We love you. We feel your pain, my brother.
I love you back, my brother. Bless
up. Thank you for reaching out. One last call. Caller, you're on the clock. Caller, you're on the clock. You there? You're not there. We're going to drop that one. One last call. Caller, you're on the call. Oh, they're all gone. And that's too bad because we are all out of time. Our last text today says, thank you for helping Bahamians fight back. We support you, Toby Smith.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it very much. Thank you, Aaron. Thank you, Bahamas.
I can be honest with you. What is the point? What is the sense of having the region's largest or most successful tourism product if Bahamians are not centered in that product at all times? Not just centered, prioritized.
Amen, sis.
What is the point? We got to get rid of this plantation model tourism.
Man.
Also, my last note to you for the day. I see you making sculptures, you said, of the white crown.
So Steve Burrows made the white crown
pigeon. And you restored it.
I restored it. I made the flamingo on Bahama Boulevard by Lakeview and Fusion.
I need a big scarecrow in the back of my yard because the royal crown pigeon and the imperial pigeon are eating all the sea grapes all through Johnson Road. We got to do something about
it. Everybody got to eat. Can't stop that.
Darn it. That's what they keep telling me. Anyway, today you win, Imperial Pigeon and Royal Crown Pigeon. Today for you, Raccoon. Tomorrow for me.
There you go.
Dear Bahamas, thank you for tuning in to this important conversation with Toby Smith.
Thank you, Eric.
And thank you for staying tuned to Guardian 96.9 FM. And on my last note, remember, I think we are having issues with our phone line. So the number to call for today's shows is 325-4259. Write it down, keep it in your book, and have a great day, Bahamas.
Yes, sir.